Peter Hitchens is speaking at the Festival of Dangerous Ideas over the weekend at the Opera House. His book was called The War We Never Fought, The British Establishment's Surrender to Drugs. Now, I must be missing something here, Peter. I thought we had a war on drugs.
No, it's a complete phony.
I've read a lot about it.
You read a lot about it.
George W. Bush talked about the war on drugs.
Nobody looks. It's, as with so many other things, you want to do something really, really bad, you hide it in plain sight. There hasn't been a serious attempt to stop people taking drugs in Britain for about 40 years. I guess it's the same in Australia. All the Anglosphere countries are more or less the same. They keep laws on the books, don't enforce them. There are laws against supply. But if you want to stop something, if you stop the supply and don't stop the demand, then it won't work, and it doesn't work.
So I was going to say, people get busted for importing cocaine all the time.
They do.
Police finding ice labs and all that.
Isn't it odd that there's all this fuss made about importing it? Why is there a fuss made? Why is it against the law? If it was soap or scented candles they were importing, nothing would happen. Well, it's because of the substance. What's wrong with the substance? It's what happens when people take it. It destroys their minds, and it does a lot of other damage as well. So surely it would be the possessing of it and the using of it would be just as serious as the dealing, but we call the dealers evil and we treat the users as victims and we do not actually take any serious action against them.
Because a lot of people who talk about the war on drugs say it can't be won. We should therefore legalise drugs. Are you arguing that?
Lots of legal wars can't be won. You can't win the war against murder or the war against burglary or the war against mugging either, but you can do an awful lot to keep them down if you enforce the law properly. If you have laws, then you have to enforce them. If you don't enforce them, then you just bring the law into disrepute. And that's what has happened in most Western societies. They've just decided not to bother to enforce these laws. And so people scorn the laws and they pay no attention to them. And who can blame them when they see that they're not being enforced all around them?
Our number's 1-300-222-702, 1-300-222-702. This is Peter Hitchens' challenging thesis. There's not really effectively been a war on drugs, especially drug use, for a long time. Yes, drug supply and drug manufacture and drug distribution, but drug use is not really being effectively policed. What could the British government realistically do if it wanted to fight a war on drug use?
Well, it's probably
Peter.
Too late now, but if you look into it, the big thing that they did back in 1971 when all this changed was they abandoned the idea that drug use and drug trafficking were equally bad. And they also did this terrible thing, which is they fell in with the public, a huge public relations campaign for marijuana, which claims that it's a soft drug. You know, you hear the word soft, soft cop, soft option, soft drink. You think of something harmless and nice. In fact, marijuana is a very dangerous drug and can leave its users, in some cases, permanently mentally ill for the rest of their lives.
And connected to psychosis not
exactly,
and things like that.
That's not exactly soft. Yet it's been given this fantastic marketing campaign. It was given these separate classifications. In our country, we have A, B, and C. For the supposed seriousness of drugs. And the classifications are scientifically extremely dubious. It's very hard to work out which is more dangerous. All of them do you damage. But a free pass was given to cannabis at this stage. And ever since then, our head of our legal system, our Lord Chancellor, told magistrates to stop sending people to prison for possessing cannabis back in 1973. And they obeyed. And sentences have gone down and down and down until the point has now been reached in Britain where our chief constables, the heads of all our police forces in England and Wales, have specifically told their officers that the response to finding someone in possession of cannabis is a thing called a cannabis warning, which has no legal force at all. So we have effectively given up trying to prosecute the possession of cannabis. I'm sure something similar happens here, but it's always different. In the United States, it's been done under the fake label of medical marijuana, which is an absurd red herring and was meant to be so when the campaign was
invented. Isn't there peer-reviewed evidence that shows marijuana can reduce chronic pain in some people from opiates aren't effective?
Thalidomide was very good at treating morning sickness. The problem was that it also produced horrendous deformities in babies. There are a lot of drugs which will have effects which are on first acquaintance, possibly appear to be good, but you have to watch out for the side effects. The other thing is no medicine can be taken except in strictly measured quantities. And the idea that you could take a medicine in the form of a gulp of smoke into your lungs, unmeasured and unmeasurable, is medically absurd.
But people argue mainly for the effects of medical marijuana at the edges of things like palliative care and all that, where the long-term effects of having a smoke probably aren't the biggest issue.
Well, there's the difficulty, isn't it? How can you tell whether it's a medical treatment or it's just somebody feeling better? You could prescribe brandy on that basis, and it isn't medically respectable or scientifically respectable to do so. And it's fundamentally propaganda. Keith Stroop, the leading American campaigner for marijuana legalization, said in 1979, and I know this is disputed, but if anybody wants it, I've got the original interview in which he said that this was a red herring to get marijuana a good name.
You also talk about the importance of not losing the moral arguments as to whether people should or shouldn't. Not just the legal argument, people are breaking the law, we should enforce that. What's your moral take
on drug use? Well, I've travelled in my career as a journalist to 57 different countries, and I tend to think that the most precious possessions that we have in the Anglosphere countries, which I regard as the most advanced and civilised countries that have ever been, they're law-governed, they're free, they're orderly without being repressive, they are efficient and civilised. And I think this comes actually out of the Protestant ethic of self-denial, of people not indulging themselves and generally putting themselves second and everybody else first. And I have to say that drug taking, stupefying yourself, is the reverse of that. And it also has another very dangerous effect, and Aldous Huxley warned about this in that terrible, terrifying prediction, Brave New World, the great dystopian novel, probably greater than 1984. If people start using drugs on a very, very large scale, they learn to love their own servitude. They become an easily manipulated mass. And I have a feeling there are quite a lot among our population, among our present generation of politicians, who are quite glad to see a stupefied and anaesthetized population which doesn't protest.
Peter Hitchens, do you drink alcohol?
Very little.
But you do?
Yeah, I do very occasionally, but I don't get drunk.
So you're a hypocrite.
I don't get drunk, and I will say this quite straightforwardly. If I believe that it were possible to ban alcohol tomorrow, then I would give it up tomorrow. The truth is that alcohol is so deep in our culture and has been for thousands of years that banning it would be impossible. They've tried it seriously in Iran.
Let me clarify this, Peter. You personally would give it up?
I would, yeah, absolutely.
If it were
possible to ban it by law, I would give it up, yeah, absolutely. Without
why don't you just give it up?
You're... It wouldn't make any difference. And frankly, the amount I drink is so small, it doesn't matter. But if you ask moral gesture...
But Peter, there'd be argued... There'd be people who argue the amount of marijuana they smoke is, or the amount of whatever they do is equivalent to your relationship with alcohol.
They teach this in I don't know what you call them, social responsibility classes or personal health. And social education. They teach this argument in schools now. It's garbage. The truth is, if you've already got two dangerous poisons legal in your society in the form of alcohol and tobacco, the last thing you need is another one.
But you admit that you interact with one of those dangerous poisons in a way that you think your relationship with it and your ability to moderate it is on balance fine for you and not damaging society. Other people would claim that they have similar relationships substances.
No, my argument is different. I'm not making any argument about myself. The fact is I don't drink very much, but if I did, it would be an extremely wicked thing for me to do for a lot of reasons, which we haven't time to discuss here. But the point here is to do with the practicality of banning. You can't use the law in all circumstances. The use of marijuana in Western societies is still at a stage where if governments seriously tried to prevent it, they could do so. The other crucial thing about marijuana is that its greatest danger in modern society is to the young. In Britain now, it's being smoked in schools by children aged 11, 12, and 13, at precisely the point at which their brains are most vulnerable. There are many cases, some personally known to me, of children who've smoked at this stage and who've become permanently mentally ill as a result. At that point, what people need is a powerful argument against peer group pressure and a seriously enforced law in which you would genuinely risk career damage, never being able to travel to the United States the rest of your life. That kind of law would deter people, would provide an argument against peer pressure, would enable young people in school who come under this enormous pressure to smoke dope to say, no, it's a stupid thing to do, I'm not going to do it.
This is Peter Hitchens, English journalist, the author of The War We Never Fought, talking at the Festival of Dangerous Ideas over the weekend. Chris, you've got some thoughts. What would you like to say?
I'd just like to say that if we're going to prosecute people for possession of drugs, and I don't want to call them soft drugs, but if we were to really prosecute people, our courts would be full, and if it was to involve jail time, well, we don't have any room for these kind of petty criminals. There's enough serious criminals out there. So, I mean, it's maybe not a bad idea, but I just don't know how it's practical because our legal system is stretched to the limit as it is.
Basic misunderstanding of the criminal justice system there, Chris. The point about law is to deter people from doing things, not to lock them up for doing them. I don't know what your laws here are on drunken driving, but when we introduced laws against drunken driving in Britain in the 1960s with the breathalyzer, what happened was there were a few high-profile cases and then people stopped drinking while driving. If it was clear that we were going to prosecute people for using marijuana, they wouldn't use it.
Okay. Look, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Peter, love to speak with you.
Well, it was lovely to speak to you.
Peter Hitchens, English journalist and author of The War We Never Fought, The British Establishment Surrender to Drugs, is speaking at the Festival of Dangerous Ideas from the 2nd till the 4th of November. Fair to say from some of the SMSs I'm reading here this morning, Peter, you've touched a nerve, you've made people think a bit. Thanks for being a guest on the show.
It's been my pleasure.